Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Heavenly Father, please meet with us. Help us to be reminded. God, help us to all check our seed sacks this morning. Help us to consider the seed that we're sowing each day of our life. Lord, forgive us, dear God. Help us, Lord, lessen the impact of the bad seed that each and every one of us from time to time have sown. And Lord, may we determine from this day forward to fill our seed bag full of good seed so that we can look forward to a good harvest, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I restudied this entire concept this week, looked at every place in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, gave any comment to the subject of sowing and reaping. And I usually begin this message by giving you the three laws connected with sowing and reaping. I'm going to give you four because I think the Lord wanted me to add this one. Four laws connected with sowing and reaping. It's, as R.G. Lee said, it's written in the Constitution of God's universe. You know what? There are some things that you're going to reap if you sow. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap, and that's just the way God set it up. Four laws connected with sowing and reaping. I'm preaching to, for the most part, people that live in a rural community, agricultural community, so I think you'll catch on to this quick. There are four laws connected with sowing and reaping. Number one, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Now, we this year went out and tilled the ground and planted a garden, and we put in green beans, and we put in corn, and we put in about three different types of tomatoes, and some pumpkins that I don't think quite made it because of the water situation. And my wife planted some sunflower seeds because she likes to feed the birds. And so that's what we sowed. We bought that type of seed. And guess what? Where we sowed tomatoes, tomatoes came up. And where we sowed corn, corn came up. Where we sowed beans, beans came up. Where we sowed pumpkins, they came up for a while, then withered and vanisheth away, never to be seen again. And sunflower stalks came up with the sunflower seed. And one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that you will reap what you sow. So whatever you sow, that's the exact thing that you will reap. Job 4:8, even as I have seen that they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Reap the same. You sow good seed, you're going to reap a good harvest. You sow bad seed, you'll reap a bad harvest. You will reap what you sow. Number two, law number two, you will reap more than you sow. Now, if that didn't happen, no one would be in the farming business. Wouldn't be profitable. If all you ever took in every year is the same amount of seed that you planted, then it wouldn't be much of a business. The whole idea of farming and the whole idea of planting is in hopes that you'll reap more than you sow. And it still amazes me. You know, folks, listen to me. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God's made such an amazing planet for us. I mean, as I'm preparing our garden, and as I take that little seed, that little corn seed, and I sit there and stare at it, look at it, I can't imagine that there is a stalk inside of there that's going to end up being taller than I am. I can hold this little speck in my hand, and I look at it, and I think, how in the world did the Creator cram that six-foot stalk and the two or three ears of corn that's going to be come out of that little seed? You know what? God's so good to us. And we plant one seed, and we reap several ears full of seeds. And Hosea 8:7, for they that sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. And so, and then Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you met, with all it shall be measured to you again. So it's not just a matter of planting, sowing, and reaping what you sow. You plant, and you will reap more than you sow, which, by the way, can be bad news, as we say in a minute, or can be good news. Number three, you will reap in proportion to what you sow. And this is the one I've added. I usually just give three principles, but 2 Corinthians 9:26, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You will reap in proportion to what you sow. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean that we planted in our garden 4 rows of corn. And I don't know how long the rows were. I'm guessing probably about 40 feet long, something like maybe 50 feet long, 4 rows of corn. I cannot and should not expect the same harvest as the man behind me, he who planted a 26-acre field full of corn. And so what the Bible says, if you sow sparingly, then you need to understand that your bounty, your reaping, is going to be in proportion to how much you sow, and so on and so forth. Now, by the way, church, that means this. We're going to talk about the gospel in a minute and the importance of seeding, planting the seed of the gospel. But what that means is the more seed that we're planting out there, the more harvest that we can expect. A church that doesn't plant much seed, doesn't sow much seed when it comes to the gospel, can't expect to see a whole lot of people saying. If the church that says that's the preacher's job, that's why we pay him, not our responsibility to knock on doors or invite, pass out tracts and all of that, we'll just sit and sulk and sour and let him do it, then you know what? You're not going to expect much. But how exciting when you get a congregation energized. And you get everybody or most everybody out there involved in some way planting the gospel seed. You know what? If you plant a handful of seed, you can expect more than you sowed. Praise the Lord. But man, if you sow a truckload of seed, how exciting is that, what the Lord can do with it? And so you will sow in proportion to what, reap in proportion to what you sow. And for there is a season of time between sowing and reaping. Mark 4:28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And every once in a while, I do this almost every year, some of my jokes are so old. Just be thankful that my wife, still after 28 years, still laughs at my tired old jokes. But we'll plant a garden, and without fail, the next morning I'll get up, and I'll say to her, I'm going to go out and see if I can pick a tomato. I'd like to have a tomato. And I'm going to see how much corn's come up. And the day after we planted, well, guess what? The day after you plant, you go out and look at the garden, and it pretty much looks like the day that you planted it. And there's always a time period. By the way, young people, get this. Well, I see that guy planting bad seed, and I don't see any bad things happening. That's because there's always a season between when you plant and when you harvest. Preacher, I'm doing right, but it don't seem like anything's coming out of it. Patience, be patient. Sow good seed. There's always a period of time between when you sow. That's why you can't decide. I'll tell you what, I don't like this bumper sticker. Try Jesus. You don't try Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go to church for, I mean, I've had people sit in houses and listen to people tell me their formula. Well, I'll go to church for 3 months, and if this don't happen, this don't happen, this don't happen, then God's not real. Listen, you take God off trial. In the beginning, God! That's what the first 4 words of the Bible says. Listen, it isn't a matter about whether or not God, you don't try God. You know, well, God's not going to play your silly games. He's not going to work on your timetable. You know what he says? Be faithful. You know what he says? Do what I say to do. And you know what? If you'll do it long term, you'll begin to see the benefits. But if you're going to just I'll sow good seed for a while, but if I don't get a quick harvest, then I'm quitting. Well, you know what? You're not going to get anything, because God's not going to bless that kind of nonsense. No, you stay with it, and you plant, and you stay faithful, and God will keep his word. So here's the 4 laws connected with sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. You will reap more than you sow. You will reap in proportion to how much you sow or what you sow. There is a season of time between sowing and reaping. I want you to look back at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Yes, there's a warning in this portion of Scripture against sowing bad seed. And I do want to take a minute and mention that, because folks, listen to me, I believe that every single person, every day of their life, is sowing something. We're sowing something. When we go through the day tomorrow, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, no matter what your day schedule is or what shift you work, you know what? Everywhere you go, you're sowing something. And if you're sowing something, then you're going to reap something. And so God warns us, hey, check your seed bag. Here it is. Watch me. Check your seed bag. Are you sowing bad seed or are you sowing good seed? Proverbs 22:8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fall. And there's different places in the Bible that warn us about the wrong kind of seed. Don't sow sin. Don't sow a sinful life. Don't sow those sinful choices. You can't just live in sin for years and years and years and then pray for a crop failure. If you're going to sow, you're going to reap. Listen up. If you're going to sow, you're going to reap. Oh, preacher, this is already discouraging me. You know what? I haven't been saved very long, going to church real long. And the honest truth is, there's been a time period in my life when I sowed some pretty bad seed. I sowed the wrong kind of seed. Let me help you. And I mean this. I want to be an encouragement to you. I remember, and I'll go in. I don't usually tell who this is, but I'll tell who it is because it's a good end of the story. But Sister Rita, your oldest boy, Paul, when we went out and down years ago to Bill Rice Ranch, there was a preacher down there that preached on the subject of sowing and reaping. And, I watched your son, who, by the way, didn't get saved too. He's not up in his high school years. And you know, not really what I guess the world would consider a bad kid, but he knew the secrets of his own heart. And he came to an altar after that, and he stayed there for some time. And I usually let the young men kind of do business, but he was a fairly new Christian, so I gave him some time. And finally, I went down to pray with him, and I said, is there something I can pray with you about? And he said, preacher, he said, I was listening to that message this morning, and he said, I was thinking back at the years before I got saved, and preacher, I've sowed some bad seed, and I'm sitting here wondering what's going to happen with that bad seed I sowed. Watch this, folks. I knelt at the altar. I'm looking this young man in the eye. I'm not going to lie to him. By the way, I'm not going to lie to you either. I'm going to tell you the truth. You ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to give you the best I can, a Bible answer. I said, son, I didn't try to soft soap it. I said, let me tell you what's going to happen with that bad seed. It's going to grow, and you're going to have to do some reaping. Preacher, that's not what I want to hear. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Aren't you glad for the grace of God? But you know what? When God forgives your sins at salvation, you know what? Not the consequences of everything you've ever done bad goes away. They're still there. And he looked at me as if to say, that's your encouragement? I should have just prayed by myself, you know. I was doing better than that by myself. And I looked at him and I said, listen, some of what you sowed, you're going to have to reap. Now, here's the decision that you're going to have to make before you leave this altar. I said, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to change seed bags. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to dump the seed out and replace it with good seed. Because here's the good news. See, we don't want this truth. We don't want this principle to be true when it comes to bad seed, but we want it to be true when it comes to good seed. Well, guess what? It's true both ways. And I looked at Brother Paul and I said, Brother Paul, listen to me. I said, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. You sowed some bad seeds, you're probably going to reap some things. It's going to be some hard things in the next few years, and it's going to be a result of some of the decisions you've made. But I said, you know what? Before you get up off this altar, you can empty your seed bag out of every bad seed, get it all out, decide you're going to fill it up with good seed, and starting today, and then tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, you can start sowing good seed. And guess what? You can look forward in just a little bit of a short time. It's going to take a time to be a season. But you know what? You can look forward to a good harvest down the road. I said, I'm going to leave you to decide that. And I patted him on the shoulder and prayed with him and left him. And you know what? That young man got up. And you know what? I think he changed seat bags that day. And I was just out this spring at the church he's pastoring, and I'm seeing evidences of the blessings of Almighty God and what God's used. What I'm saying is this. I'm not going to lie to you, congregation. You know what? You sowed some things you shouldn't have sowed. You can't pray for crop failure, but aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Aren't you glad how sometimes God looks down and sees through eyes of grace and mercy? Thank God for mercy. Sometimes I believe God gauges the sincerity of the change in our life, and I think God sometimes puts his hands and does stunt and diminish the crop a bit. But you know what? The real secret is this: put good seed in your seed bag. Young people, listen. Oh, preacher, I'm going to go out and sow my wild oats. You ever think about that? What a crazy statement to make. You talk about throwing a statement that throws itself in the face of God. Now listen, folks, if you sow wild oats, guess what's going to grow? You better think about that. You're all interested in how far you can fling wild oats, but I'm going to tell you, everywhere they land, they're going to grow something. Blessed is the young person that says, you know what, I'm not going to go off into sin. I'm not going to go off into craziness. I'm not going to go off, and I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to keep sowing the right things. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. We can sow iniquity. We can sow strife. How about Proverbs 6:19, the list of seven things that God hates? He that soweth discord among the brethren. Proverbs 6:14, forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. And unfortunately, there's Christians that sow discord, and they sow strife, and they sow iniquity. Not just the lost, even Christians. And isn't it funny that guess what is always a part of their life? Discord and strife and iniquity, the results of that. What I'm saying is you'll reap what you sow, and the Bible warns us about that. I mentioned and referenced R.G. Lee's sermon, Payday Someday, and we were having this talk, and I don't know if I've said this to y'all or not, and I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, but I think I might. The more I keep talking about it, the more I about can talk myself into doing it. And if you don't think it's the right thing to do, I guess stay home. I don't know what to tell you, you know. But somebody asked me here a while back. We were trying to decide some future speakers and who I'd like to have come in preach a revival. And by the way, let me say this: there's good men out there. There's good evangelists. There's good preachers. We've got some great preachers coming in the next 2 or 3 years. We've got lined up. You're going to be blessed. But one of the men asked me. They said, "Well, preacher, if you just close your eyes and have whoever you wanted to, who would you have?" I said, "Well, that's easy, but they're all in heaven." And you know what, Brother Joe, it grieves me that we've got young people that have never heard some of the men that we grew up having the opportunity to hear and be blessed by. And I kept knocking around this idea of man, maybe I ought to just find a month where there's five Wednesdays in it and just say, okay, if I just had my wish list of the five men who've already gone to heaven and the five key messages that God put his anointing and blessing on in their life, what five men, what five messages would that be? Now, the problem is, it's kind of like my 10 points Sunday school class turning into 12, and it's really hard to boil it down into five, but I thought, you know what, maybe we'll just call it Voices from the Grave or something like that. I wish we'd get in a time machine and take them back to a 1960s, 1970s Soar the Lord conference. I really do. One of the things that I believe God's taken from America because of our sinfulness is we no longer have national voices, national prophets. We have good men. Don't get me wrong. We've got good men. But I don't know if we had what we had 25 years ago, where there's men that literally had the ear of a nation, and people would come from miles and states and drive and all of that. And I don't know. But what I'm saying is this. The reason I got off on that rabbit trail is because I think, near the top of my list, if you've never heard R.G. Lee preach the sermon Payday Someday, I said this one time to somebody. I said, I'd like to just pay a young evangelist. I just pay money. Say, memorize R.G. Lee's sermon Payday Someday. Don't get cute with it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to rework it and claim it. Get up and tell them what you're doing before you start. You know what? I'm not sure. We don't just need to take some young evangelist and say, don't reinvent the wheel. Just preach this message across to America. There was a great truth there that's not being preached anymore from our pulpits. This whole idea that, you know what, there's not a payday for sin. There's not a payday for iniquity. You can sow bad seed and not have a harvest. There's no such thing as that. That's a misconception. R.G. Lee, as I mentioned, said that payday someday is written in the Constitution of God's universe. You know what? It's one of the foundational principles of the Bible. But the exciting thing about it, and again, this is where we're going this morning, is, yes, if you sow bad seed, you can expect a harvest. But you know what? Here's the exciting part. If you sow good seed, you can also expect a harvest. You see, Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There it is. You're going to reap what you sow. But notice what he says here. God gives us an option. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Preacher, are you surprised when you hear about so much corruption coming out of some of our evangelical movements and even sometimes in fundamentalism? Listen, if you sow the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. I don't want what we do here to be done in the power of the flesh. If it's done in the power of flesh, all we can expect is corruption. It'll be a result of it. I want to sow to the Spirit. And I want to pray that from the Spirit will come something divine and everlasting, life everlasting. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now listen, folks, I want to encourage you real quickly to take a look in your seed bag. Now think about it. What have you been sowing? What have you been sowing? Are you sowing dishonesty? You don't think that you're not going to get tricked? You don't think that dishonesty is not coming back? Are you sowing lies? You don't think that you aren't going to believe a lie, fall for a lie at some point, be deceived yourself? Are you sowing unkindness? You know what you can expect to reap? Unkindness. But listen to me, if you'll empty your bag out and say, preacher, listen to me, I'm saved. But you know what? The honest truth is, after I got saved, I really didn't change out the seeds much. I'm doing a lot of the same things that I was doing before. It's time to change out your seed bag. All right, let me give you some things. Number one, sow righteousness. Sow righteousness. Go to Proverbs chapter number 11. I want you to look at some of these verses. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 18. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 18. Sow righteousness. What does that mean? That means when you got an opportunity to do wrong or right, choose right. Make the right choice. Proverbs 11, verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Do right. Watch this, people say, listen, preacher, I have been, but doing right doesn't pay. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Seems like the people are cheating or getting ahead. Looks like the people that are doing being dishonest are getting ahead. Looks like the people that have turned their back on God are getting ahead. I don't get this, folks. Listen, they start sowing that. There's a season. Trust me. You know what? They will reap what they sow. But you know what? If you stay faithful and you do right, God does bless the doing of right. Young people, you're getting ready to start school. Some of you have already started school. I want everybody to look at everybody that's in school. I want you to look up here. I mean, whatever school you go to, you listen to me. You do right. You do right at school. That means if some other kid cheats, then you know what? They will offer you an opportunity to cheat. Don't you take that opportunity. Yeah, but they're getting ahead. No, they're getting behind. I said they're getting behind. I said they're getting behind. They're not developing the character to study. You know what? They know in their hearts even if they get an A+, every time they look at that A+, you know what? They inside their heart smites them because they know they didn't truly earn that. They don't deserve that. I don't want something that I didn't have to work for. I don't want something that I didn't pay the price for. I don't want a fake A. Because if nobody else in the world knows it, I know it. Now listen, you do right. You do right. That means you're going to public school and you go into the restroom or something and somebody's passing around a can of Skull or somebody's wanting to tell a dirty story. You know what? You do your business and get out of there and you say, I don't want a part of that. Listen, do right. Do what's right. Some of you young people, you've been riding the bus for a while, and you know what? More and more of your friends are starting to put pressure on you. Going into junior high school, and you know what? They're giving you a hard time. Hey, you don't still ride that church bus, do you? You don't still go to church, do you? They start making you feel bad. Listen, what do I do, preacher? Do right! Do right! Do the right thing! Don't you worry about them. I often say this. You know what? You just write your phone number down. Maybe you shouldn't in this day and age. Write a fake phone number down. I'd use one that says 555 on the prefix. Isn't that the fake one? You know, 555 something. And say, call me in 10 years and let me tell you and tell me how you're doing and I'll tell you how. I'm staying with God. I'm staying with church. I'm gonna trust the Lord. I'm not interested in doing my own thing. I'm interested in doing His thing. and just don't worry about it. Well, they're laughing at me, so what? You know what? You can't hardly find somebody in the Bible that did right that didn't get laughed at or mocked or made fun of. But you know what? In the long run, they won! They won! So just hang in there and do right. Do right. By the way, adults, if it's good for the kids, it's good for us. Every single day of our life, let's do right. Let's be honest. Let's tell the truth. Listen, let's not schnooker somebody. Is that a word, schnooker? Y'all know what schnooker means? Don't you schnooker somebody. You know, if you're going to sell something or something wrong with it, you don't tell the person there's something wrong with it, shame on you. You know what? It's going to come around and get you, only it's going to get you bigger than you got somebody else. Do the right thing. Tell the truth. Be honest. Say you're sorry if you did something wrong. Ask for forgiveness. Listen, it's always right to do right. Hosea, in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. I like that. What a formula. If I sow to myself in righteousness, I'll reap mercy. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of mercy. This is a pretty good plan for taking care of some of that old seed, by the way. I'm not saying you'll take care of all of it. I've already warned you. It's in the constitution of God's universe. But notice, Hosea wrote this, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. And I think every time I say to God, okay, God, I can't go back and dig up every bad seed I ever sow. But every time I choose right, I'm praying, dear God, for a harvest of mercy. I'm going to do right so that you'll be merciful to me. I'm going to do right so that maybe you'll lessen the impact of some of the bad decisions I've made. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. Preacher, things aren't going well. It seems like the bill's coming due on some of my past bad decisions. Well, what are you going to do? Run away from God and make more bad decisions? What's that going to set you up for? Well, I mean, come on. You think it's bad now? You keep going that direction. What's it going to be like later? It's not going to get better. When you're going through tough times, it's not time to bolt away from God. It's time to head towards God. Check your seed bag. Are you sowing righteousness? Number two, quickly, sow generosity. Sow generosity. You know, if there's something that the Bible teaches, anything the Bible teaches in this matter of giving and being generous, it certainly is connected with sowing and reaping. Be generous to the Lord. I'm not going to preach long on this. And by the way, don't ever leave this church and say all that preacher does is preach about money. Because you know what? If you say that, you're lying. If you were here for the last 7 years and you sat in every service of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the honest truth is I'm not sure you could count on a handful of hands the time I've even hardly mentioned anything about it. But you know what? If the Bible says something about it, I'm going to say something about it from time to time. I was teaching on the radio broadcast. By the way, Bubba Bard, I'm getting caught up a little bit. I'm back on track. Starting next week, you know, we're going to be back on track here. Been sloughing off a little bit there, but I'm back on track here. And Malachi chapter 3, I was teaching through the book of Malachi. Here it is. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Well, what a statement. Shall a man rob God? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Here's the answer in tithes and offerings. Then here's the result. Watch this. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, therewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of the ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen, folks. I want to encourage you. I want to be a blessing to you. If I could give a new Christian the best piece of financial advice I could give you, it would be this. When you come to church, bring your tithe and bring an offering. That there's no better investment you can make than to tithe in your local assembly. And maybe some of you are brand new. You've never been taught this. What is the tithe, preacher? The tithe means a tenth. What that is we are commanded by God when we assemble together on the first day of the week to bring one-tenth of all that God has increased us in the past week. Now that means that in our paycheck or any other way that God has brought increase into our life, we calculate what a tenth part of that. By the way, the tithe, the Bible says, is the Lord's. This is His already. This belongs to Him. Okay? And so when you give the tithe, you're just giving God what already belongs to Him. Watch this. When you keep the tithe, you're stealing from God because it's His. That's why He asked the question, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now a tithe is the debt. It's what's already owed God, because it belongs to him. It's his. It's the first fruits of our labor. Along with that, he said, bring offerings. You know what, folks? This is where generosity kicks in. I tithe because that already belongs to God. He's blessed me during the week. I'm taking a tenth part of that. I'm bringing it to him because it's a commandment. And you know what? You say, preacher, now wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Every week, 10% of everything that God blesses, you can't live on 90%. Come on, church, help me out here. Help me out here. Let me tell you something. You can live a lot better on 90% than you can 100%. Now, come on, preacher, that don't make any sense. A lot of things that you do by faith don't make sense, but they work. Now, think about this. You're going to rob the God of the universe and then think he's going to bless you financially? I don't think that's going to happen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to obey the Lord. So I figure up 10% of all my increase. That means whatever my gross pay was, I'm going to bring a tithe of that. If something else comes in, a blessing, unexpected, something that God brings, either cash or materialistically or something, I'm going to figure what the value of it. I'm going to bring 10%, and I'm going to give it to the Lord. 10% of all of my increase every week as we gather first day of the week. Then on top of that, I want to say, God, I don't want to just give you what is yours. I want to give you some above what is yours, an offering on top of that. And so I don't just bring 10%. I bring an offering above the 10%, because we are commanded to do that in the scriptures, in tithes and offerings. Now, what happens if I don't do that? Bible says you're cursed with a curse. Ye have robbed me. Watch this. Even this whole nation. I know it's talking about Israel, but watch this, folks. Come on. What percentage of born-again Christians, I'm not talking about the world. I know the world robs God. But what percentage of born-again Christians this morning are going to keep God's tithe in their pocket? What percentage of them don't even go to church that are born again? And the ones that do, what percentage? Preacher, things are getting kind of tough. This nation seems like it's under a financial curse. Well, of course. He said, I'll curse your whole nation. Watch this. Come on. I'm going to give this to you. It's unpatriotic not to tithe. You can wave your flag all you want to. You can stand up, put your hand over your heart when we sing the national anthem. You can pass out Grace Will Lead Me Home booklets. But I said you're a traitor. You're a Benedict Arnold. If you're a Christian, you're not tithing, because you know what you're doing? You're drawing a target on a nation. That's what he says here. He says, even this whole nation. He says, bring ye the tithes in the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house. Prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Say, what happens when you tithe, preacher? God opens the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and you shall destroy not the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, folks, listen to me. If I wanted to, I could take and we don't have time. I could take the rest of the morning, next hour, and I could ask men to line up right down that wall. They could walk to this pulpit, and they could give testimony to the fact that if you tithe, God blesses and honors tithes and offerings and generosity. I'm not going to name him. He wouldn't want me to name him. But there was a brother that came to me at the beginning of this year, and he said, God has moved in my heart that I'm to double my tithe for this year. And he said, I wanted to tell you, preacher, because I want to build an account. Accountability. I want to make sure I vowed to God. I want to build in accountability. And he said, so I'm going to do this thing. And I checked with him a while back. By the way, almost every other week, it seems, this year, he's called me and told me about some unusual blessing. He's on track right now to make twice as much money as he did last year. Amen. Twice as much money as he did last year. And by the way, I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not preaching prosperity Christianity. But I am preaching the Bible. Amen. Bible says prove. Well, I tried it for a while. Yeah, that's a problem. You got the try Jesus syndrome. Only yours is now try tithing. Well, I'll try it, and I'll tell you what, if I don't win the lottery, that's a whole nother subject we got to deal with. All right. You know, I'll try it, but I'll tell you what, if I don't go to my mailbox and find $5,000, well, forget it then. You know what, forget it. You're doing it for the wrong reason anyway. And the man told me, he said, I did not expect to have any increase in my gain. I just knew that God wanted me to double tithe off what I'd made, and I figured I'd make this. You know what? You can't outgive God. I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. Now, you go ahead. You go ahead and steal from Him. But you know what? There's going to be things coming to your life. The devourer is going to be loosed in your life. And you know what? That washing machine is not going to last as long, and you're going to have more car trouble, and you're going to be buying more lawnmowers, and you're going to have this little thing go wrong, and that. And you know what? You're going to have. You can go ahead and put God's tithe in your purse, but there's a hole in the bottom of the purse, and it'll fall out as fast as you could put it in. And what? Here's the crazy part. You know, one old evangelist said this: everybody tithes. Everybody tithes one way or another. Now, here's the two ways you can do it. You can walk in, be a cheerful giver, give it to the Lord, and guess what? The windows of heaven open, God blesses you, and He rebukes the devourer. Or you can say, no, I'm going to steal from God, and God sends the devourer to take the tithe and more than the tithe, even an offering, and guess what? You're denied the blessings. Now, tell me why that makes any sense whatsoever. We're going to get to heaven one of these days. And God's going to show Blessed Hope Baptist Church what it could have done if every member of this church had decided to give faithfully tithes and offering. We ought to have more missionaries on the field than we have. We ought to be running more buses. We ought to have more ministries. But some of these projects that have taken months and months and some even years to raise money, you know what? It ought not to be. Look at me. It ought not to be. If people would just give tithes and offerings. Now, I've said that, and I'm dealing with a handful, but I don't want to leave this subject without saying this, people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, thank you. Because the vast majority of our people, I believe, are faithful in giving tithes and offerings. I don't know who gives what. Brother Charles, I don't know who gives what. I on purpose do not know that. I on purpose don't want to know that. You know why? I can stand up here and preach. I can look everybody in the eye. I've got a pure heart in this. I don't know who here gives and who doesn't, what you give, what you give. You know what? If I knew it and you gave a lot, I might be tempted to tiptoe around your sin. And if I knew you didn't give, I'd get in the flesh and scowl at you all the time. And so I don't want to know. But let me tell you this, God knows. God knows. He'll take care of those things. So in generosity, be generous to those in need. Be generous to the Lord, but be generous to those in need. All of the Proverbs verses on the poor. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor, watch this, lendeth unto the Lord. Wow. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. Think about that. Poor person, somebody doesn't have anything. You give it to them, God says, that's like lending me money. You think I'm not going to pay back? You think I'm going to owe any man? How about Proverbs 21:13? Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself and shall not be heard. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Shall be blessed. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. I have watched people who are generous and watch for needs and are the first ones to come up. Ask Brother Reiser, by the way. Thank God for Blessed Hope. I love this church. I love this church. I love this church. Brother Reiser can walk up the pulpit and say, we've got 4 bus kids that can't go to camp, and we need some help. And I mean, 5 minutes after the service, there's 4 people that have volunteered, and 4 more people are mad because they didn't get to him fast enough. And I want to say to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, thank you. If we ever lose that, we're losing something. Well, it must be the rich people. It's not. Look right up here at me. It's not. First of all, I'm trying to find rich people. Do we have any of them? Studying the life of David in Sunday school, and we got to the point where he went out in the wilderness. It says those that were in distress and in debt, and they gathered unto him. I thought, man, alive, he's got the same congregation I got, you know. So. Well, then I got to laughing. David was an outlaw, so am I. I mean, I don't know. Well, you attract what you are, I guess. I don't know. But what a mess. No, I'm going to tell you. Oh, preacher, aren't you pray that God send us a millionaire? I talked to a preacher one time, and he said, don't ever pray that. He said, I got 2 of them, and they're the 2 stingiest people in my church. And Blessed Old Baptist Church wasn't built on the generosity of millionaires. Look right, I mean it. It wasn't. It was built on the generosity of blue-collar workers. You shake a hand at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you shake a calloused hand. People go to work and work hard. And they come in and brush themselves off, clean up on Sunday, come in, give God tithes and offerings, give some to missions. Throw a little into Wednesday night, try to keep the buildings repaired and things going on. And you know what? I mean this, church. I mean it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I really mean that. I wouldn't have it any other way. Don't you ever pray? Yeah, I had those weak moments where I'm thinking, God, come on, one time. Couldn't just somebody, you know, stick a $1 million check in the mail and help us out here a little bit? And you know what? Watch it. Watch this. It'd probably run us. No, it'd probably run us, Brother Joe. It'd probably run us. I mean it. All we'd do is then we'd spend the next 3 years fighting over it, fussing over how to. You know what? We're preachers. Sometimes we run, and we run a little close sometimes. Amen. Thank God we're broke. Thank God we got to live a little by faith. And then don't get me wrong. We try to use good sense. We try to always keep a certain buffer and amount in there. But you know what, folks? God, I don't think God's people gives money so it can set some account. I think they give money so we can get it busy for the work of Christ. We want it busy for the work of Christ. I've spent too much time on this, but I promise you, folks, listen to me. You show me those people that just have that radar and they're watching and they quietly see a need. And they just meet it, and nobody knows about it. You watch that person. They're going to live a blessed life. Because you cannot erase this Bible principle. You will reap what you sow. That's a blessing. The last thing is this. Let me just exhort the church for 2 or 3 minutes. Sow the gospel. Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We're getting ready to gear up for our fall program, our fall attendance push. We're going to challenge you in the next week or so. For 4 weeks, we're going to say, let's go above and beyond. That's a good thing for the church. It's a good thing. What are we doing, preacher? We're saying for these 4 weeks, let's just increase the amount of seed we're sowing. Let's just go the extra mile. I love preaching the Bible. That little verse I read out of Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. I had an old preacher tell me, you trust the preaching of God's word. Young preacher, you trust the preaching of God's word. You don't have to get fancy. Just get up there and preach the Bible. And you know what? God always will energize the Bible and use the Bible. I went up to Elgin, Illinois, one of the summers this week for a couple days. Brother Keith Gomez wanted me to preach at a youth conference up there. And so I showed up at the college, Providence Baptist College, got to see Keith, got to take him out to breakfast, had a good time of fellowship with him, and came in with my bags, and they had a room for me at the college. And there was a young man standing in the front door waiting. Just he'd been sitting there at the information desk, and he was waiting. You could tell he was waiting. I walked in the door, and his eyes lit up, and I recognized him. Just enough to recognize. I mean, I couldn't have told you his name, but I knew who he was, kind of, and where I'd met him before. And he come up to me, and he said, Brother Ross, I've been standing here waiting for you, and he gave me a big hug. And I said, I'm going to forget your name. You're going to have to help me. But I said, you're one of Aaron's samples, boys, from Peoria, Illinois. Now, folks, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Brother Aaron Samples decided to put on a teen camp just for his young people. So he rented a camp. They had about 60 teens there, and they rented this little camp. And I went up there, and I'll never forget. And when you go to camp, you never know where you're going to stay as a speaker. I've stayed in tents. Brother Dave Smith put me up in a small camper this time. And that storm that rolled in on a Tuesday night when I was down in Kentucky, that thing's rocking and carrying on. And they say, what do? You increase your prayer life. That's what you do. And I'm sitting there thinking, how bad, you know, no cell signal, no weather report. All I know is the wind's blowing and the trailer's rocking. And, I, you know, trailers are fantastic. The RV is what it was, like a little RV. Because the shower is about the size of the top of this pulpit. And I don't know who designs those things. But what in the world? I mean, you know that? Some of you think, oh, Pastor is at camp. He's on vacation. I'm taking you with me one of these days. And you're gonna shower in that little pulpit box thing and all of this. But it's shaking. And, well, preacher, what did you do? You know, I'll tell you this. And you know, I'm not saying being foolhardy. But, you know, what shouldn't you have got out of that camper? Listen, this is how I live. Okay, God knows where I'm at. If he wants me, he's going to get me. Some of you need to relax. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. I'm seriously. Some of you are not only putting seatbelts on your kids, you're duct taping them to their car seat. All right. So some of you are so, oh my goodness sake. What, you got a guilty conscience or something? What in the world? Every time a storm blows, oh yeah, oh, you're down in the basement. Listen, God knows where I'm at. And if he wants me, he's going to come get me. It's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. You know what? It wouldn't have mattered if I went took running screaming across the field. He'd have got me with a bolt of lightning. You know, if it's my time, I'm going. If it's not, I'm not. So what'd you do? I went to sleep. There, I got that off my chest. I feel better. Stop it. Good night. Trust the Lord. I think he's in control of things. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, the tall young man. He gives me a big hug, and I said, Aaron Samples, one of your young men, told me his name. And I said, I preached a camp for y'all. And he said, yes, you did, about 4 or 5 years ago. He said, I was a sophomore in high school, and he said, I was in a bad place, Brother Jerry. I was in a bad place. And I said, okay. And he said, you came in on a Monday night, and I showed up to camp, and I said this. I said, I'm not making one decision this week. I'm not making any decisions. So this is what he told me. So he said, I showed up on a Monday night, and you preached a message entitled, Listen for Your Name, out of Samuel. You know, Samuel, Samuel. And the opening message is this. Listen, even if you came today and you decided you're not going to make any decision, I want you to just make one, and this is it. Would you at least listen for your name? And if God speaks it, will you at least pay attention to what he said? So he said, I sat there on a Monday night, and I thought, okay. I said I was going to make a decision. This is pretty harmless. I'll make one decision. I'll listen for my name. Then he looked at me and he said, you tricked me. You tricked me. He said the rest of the week, God was constantly calling my name. Every service calls my name. By the way, tears began to run down his face. And he said, Thursday night, God called my name, told me I'm supposed to be a preacher. And he said, I'm just about done with Bible college. I was going to stand right here because I saw you were coming and I wanted to be the first one. You know what, folks, listen to me. Trust the word of God. Preach it. Well, preacher, I think you need to go take care of this. I need to stand up here and preach the Bible. You know what the Bible will do? It'll do what it's supposed to do. Trust the Bible. I love the preaching of the word. What did the sower do? He went out and sowed the seed. Hey, church, listen. Let's sow the gospel. Let's keep soul winning. Let's keep knocking on doors. Let's keep witnessing to those bus kids' parents. But I've witnessed to them 15 times and they haven't got saved. Well, maybe the magic number 16. Just do it one more time. Just keep sowing the gospel. Sister Connie Howell, bless my heart, this week she contacted me and said she was in Linton and there was a bus coming through that held the group of young men, high school students, that are in the ROTC. In Bloom, is it Bloomfield? Where is Connie at? Wave at me.
They were from Bloomfield, most of them, but they were at Linton Casey's gas station.
Linton Casey's gas station from Bloomfield, group of ROTC, 30 of them, I think you said, right?
There was 15, I gave them 30 from
Paso. Okay, fantastic. And she had a stack of the Grace Will Lead Me Home books. Here's young men already interested in the military, already kind of looking that way. And she gets on that little bus and passes all those things out to those young men. And you know what, folks, listen to me. You know what I thought to myself? Thank you, God.
Amen.
Listen, just keep sowing the seed. Grab some tracks on your way out. Why don't you just give, preacher, I've never even give a track away to anybody. What's going to happen when I do it? They're going to pull out a gun and boom, they're going to blow you away. Going to shoot you deader than a doornail. Now, isn't that what the devil's already got us believing? I don't suppose you'd want this. Let me tell you what they're probably going to do. They're probably going to do what happens 99% of the time. They're probably going to take it and say, well, thank you. Isn't that what people do? I mean, really, for the most part? Every once in a while, you're going to get an old grouch. We got them here in this county. We got more than our share here in this county. We got more than our share here in this church. And, you know, so, yeah, amen. All right, come on. What are you supposed to say? No. Camp. There you go. All right. Yeah, come on. Turtle, I deserved it. Yeah, I did. All right. All week in camp, if anybody whined or complained, one of the camp rules was if you hear anybody whining or complaining, then you point at him and yell turtle real loud. And I'm thinking about putting that in our church constitution and just have that as a rule right here at the church. You know, hear people screaming turtle all over the campus. But what are you saying? I'm saying sow the seed. Sow the seed. We're going to celebrate this coming May, the church's 40th anniversary. I'm done. What have we tried to do for 40 years? Has this been a perfect church? Oh, my goodness sakes, no. Have we made more in our share of mistakes? Absolutely. Why in the world does God bless? Because I think one thing we've consistently tried to do is just sow the gospel. Sow the gospel. It's on the radio. It's in our regional visitation. It's in the nursing homes. The bus ministry. Teen soul winning. All of the missionaries that all of you sacrificed so much for to keep on the field. Just sow and sow and sow. Now we're into church planting. Who in the world thought of that? We're into church planting over here. And God's seeing souls saved in Bloomfield through the church plant over there. You know what? Let's do church. Let's just keep sowing. Well, people say soul winning don't work. Well, while they're arguing about that, I'm going to go soul winning. Passing out tracts just don't. All right, while they're arguing about it, I'm just going to keep passing out tracts. I know this. Dave Liffick. By the way, I meant to mention this. Sister Eileen called before the service. That's why we had a different piano player, and she had to take Brother Dave over to the hospital. Something going on. Didn't give me specifics. She said, I don't think it's life or death, but it's just something's going on. We need to get checked out. But Dave Liffey, every time I see him walk in the door, you know what? Ask him. He got saved because somebody in Chicago gave him a gospel track. That person probably will not know about that till they get to heaven. So you know what you ought to do? Just keep sowing the seeds. What'd you do at church this morning, preacher? Well, I studied the Word of God this week, and I got my sermon, and I've just chucked a bunch of seed down. Is it all going to fall on good ground? Nope, it's not. But some of it will. Is all of it going to bring forth fruit? Nope. Good night. Look at the percentages. 3/4 of it in the Bible. Well, I'd take a fourth. I'd take a fourth right now if you give me that deal for the next year. I'd take a fourth. Praise the Lord. Let's just sow the Master's Club, sowing the seed. Sunday school teacher, sowing the seed. Amen. Primary church, children's church, sowing the seed. That's what we're going to do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Just help us. Lord, some of us are facing some heartache. And some of that, maybe some of it, is a result of some bad seed sown. God, help us to check our seed bags. Help us to check our seed bags. Lord, help us put the good seeds of righteousness, the good seeds of generosity, the good seeds of the gospel, the word of God. Just help us to sow it everywhere we go, everywhere we go. Just sow, sow, sow good seed. Just sow good seed. We may not see the harvest tomorrow or the next day. It may be a while. But Lord, we'll reap what we sow. We'll reap more than we sow. We'll reap in proportion to what we sow. So bless, Lord, please, our church's efforts. If you're here this morning, our heads bowed and eyes closed, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you died right now, you're not for sure where you'd go. I pray that you'd be saved today. God loves you so much. How do you know that? Well, because of these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. He loves you enough to send his Son Jesus to die for your sins. Jesus died, was buried, rose again. He sits in heaven now, offering you the free gift of eternal life. I pray that you'd be saved today. Christian, what do you got in your seed bag? Has some bad seed got in there? Preacher, nobody knows about it. Watch this. Whatever you sow, even if you sow it in secret, you'll reap it in public. You'll reap it in front of folks. Be careful. There's some evil, wicked seed that's gotten into your seed bag. Preacher, there's some things I've started to do, some things I've started to say, some things I've started to get involved with. I should never have gotten involved with them. This is why we have church, so the Holy Spirit of God can take the preaching of the Bible and deal with each of our hearts. Some of you need to make a trip to an altar and say, I need to dump out some old bad seed, and I need to ask God to help me fill it up with righteousness and generosity and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to sow to the flesh and reap corruption. I want to sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. God, help us, please. Help us deal with our hearts. Lord, help us to shove the pride out of our lives. Help us to shove the pride out of our lives. God, We sow in pride, we'll reap destruction. Help us to be tender-hearted to the Holy Spirit of God now, please.